Thank you very much for taking your time today to follow this conference call. Here with me are Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and Alessandra Simonotto, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. All the relevant materials is available in the investor section of our website. And at the end of the presentation, as we said before, we are ready to answer the questions you may have. Before starting the conference call, as usual, I need to remind you that during the conference, we can use forward-looking statements that are based on Piaggio's current expectations and projections. By their nature, forward-looking statements are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. Finally, I remind you that the press has been invited to participate in this conference in a listen-only mode. And now I would like to hand over the conference to Alessandra Simonotto.
Good afternoon. Hello, everybody. In order to make our call focused and productive, I will concentrate on a few important points. Let's move to page 4 of the presentation that gives you a snapshot of the outstanding results achieved, notwithstanding the high demanding basis of comparison and the persistent weakness of one of our most important markets, India. The key point underscored in the slide is cash generation, which is, as you know, our top priority. We have been able to generate €95 million of free cash flow to equity, the best result in the last 12 years, despite the step up in capital expenditure to support new initiatives. Strong cash generation pushed down the adjusted net debt to €366 million, €63 million below December 2019. This outstanding performance stemmed from the strong improvement of all key operating metrics. Net sales went up 10%, the highest growth rate to date, with all geographies positively contributing. Operating margin rose significantly, notably with the EBITDA reaching the best absolute result since 2007 and the best percentage on sales to date. EPS grew 27%, again in the best performance of the last 11 years. Let's move to page 5, on which we summarize our industry's key demand trends. In a nutshell, Europe demand regained strength in Q4, while Asia lost steam and Indian demand kept sinking. The key point here is that Europe kept on posting sound demand, ending up around 9%, with the upward trend widespread among all product segments in all major countries. In our view, this picture may suggest that the long-awaited replacement cycle is finally underway. I would like to add that Piaggio Group kept the same market share of last year. As said, India was in a different path. Namely, two-wheeler downward trend accelerated across the year, while three-wheeler light commercial vehicles ended down essentially behind the extremely tall comparison base, as last year demand in the passenger segment had been artificially boosted by the release of new licenses in some big cities. Excluding this one-off effect, demand ended up 40% versus 2017. This suggests that the underlying demand for this kind of vehicles is still very robust. In this context, Piaggio gained market share both in three-wheelers and in two-wheelers. Let's move now to page 6, to have an in-depth analysis of the trends by business. As said before, revenues grew in the first 9 months at the fastest pace to date, 9.8% or 8.2% at constant currency. This performance stemmed from synchronized growth in all cash-generating units and in all businesses. Clearly, looking at the gap between volumes and revenue trend, we can notice that the key driver of growth has been the stronger positive price mix effect in all geographic areas and all business segments. This effect has been driven by our strict pricing policy, coupled with our ability to pass through costs with selective price increases, leveraging in the strong appeal of our brands. Looking more in detail at the performance by geographic area, India revenues growth slowed down across the period, affected by the prolonged market weakness. Conversely, Asia Pacific continued to surprise on the upside, posting strong growth both in volumes and in revenues. Growth keep on drawing strength from the outstanding performance of Indonesia, Thailand, and China, all with revenues surging more than 40%. Also, Vietnam, despite the heightened competitive intensity, ended with revenues on the rise. I would like to spend more time commenting on the positive performance of two-wheelers in EMEA and the Americas. Namely, in Europe, our retail sales grew broadly in line with market demand trends. The lower trend of our selling volumes showed on the slide was driven by action aiming at curbing dealer stock. Despite that, revenues in the area grew around 8% behind the positive contribution of all major countries apart from the Netherlands. Lastly, EMEA and Americas light commercial vehicles kept on posting sound results with synchronized growth of European and export sales. Let's move now to page seven to look at the breakdown of the performance by product. As said before, revenue growth stemmed from all product segments. Notably, both bikes and scooters revenue growth have been driven by strong brands. Bikes growth accelerated as the year progressed, mainly driven by the outstanding performance of Moto Guzzi, which revenues grew more than 17%. Aprilia bikes posted good performance too, with volume and revenues on the rise. Scooters kept on benefiting from the healthy performance on Vespa and MP3, the former ending with revenues up close to 10% and the latter with revenues growing more than 15%. Let's move now to page 8 to have a look at the EBITDA bridge. As said before, EBITDA ex IFRS 16 grew by 10%, reaching 183 million euro, the best performance since 2007, with margin on sales at 15.3%, which represents an all-time peak. Notably, excluding the currency effect, the EBITDA margin would have been even higher, landing at 15.4%. This outstanding result was driven by healthy gross margin. In fact, excluding the currency effect, the percent gross margin would have been 30.5%, broadly in line with last year. Notably, as you can see in the chart, the strong improvement of net sales has largely offset the negligible negative mix effect. Cash operating expenses ended up versus prior year, reflecting hardened efforts to support new initiatives and upfront costs for new product development. Lastly, as you can see, IFRS 16 adoption brought a positive effect, lifting the EBITDA to 188.8 million euro, margin on sales to 15.7%. Moving to slide 9, we can see that net result ex IFRS 16 surged 27.1% plus 9.9 million euro, with margin on net sales that reaching 3.8 percentage points, 0.5 percentage points above last year. On top of a positive EBITDA contribution just described, we kept on benefiting from lower financial expenses reflecting lower level of debt and lower cost of funding arising from recent initiatives to add debt level. Lastly, as you can see, IFRS 16 had a negligible dilutive effect stemming from higher D&A and financial charges. I will skip now page 10 that summarizes the figures that we have just discussed to move directly to page 11 to have an in-depth analysis of cash and net debt. In my opinion, this is the most significant slide today since it testifies our ability to reduce debt while returning value to shareholders through dividends and buybacks. In detail, operating cash flow grew versus last year primarily on the back of higher EBITDA. Working capital cash generation reached an all-time peak, mainly driven by the strong containment of inventories, higher contribution of payables, while we have been able to rein in receivables. As expected, capital expenditure was significantly higher than last year, plus 19 million euro, driven by hardened focus on new product launches but consistent with the full-year target around 130 million euros. Lastly, change in equity was higher than last year, mainly reflecting higher dividend paid. As a result, we produced 63 million of cash, which pushed down adjusted net debt ex IFRS 16 at 366 million euro, well below September and year-end 2018. Leverage went down from 2.0 in September 2018 to 1.8, which testifies that we are fully on track with our long-term goal to keep leverage below 2. Lastly, including IFRS 16, the net financial position ended at 405 million euro, also in this case below year-end 2018 and at the same level of September 2018. Thank you.
Okay, now we are ready to answer the questions you may have. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. The first question comes from Bosio Monica of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. The first one is, it's my usual questions. In July, the company guided for a full-year EBITDA, excluding IFRS 16 impact, in the range of 220 million and 225 million. My perception was that the company was quite optimistic toward the high end of this range. Is it still the case on the back of the weakness of India, or are you a little bit more conservative? In terms of guidance, given the very brilliant result in net cash flow generation and in net debt, can you give us an update on the full-year expected net debt? This is the first question. The second one is on India on one side and Europe on the other side. Can you give us an update of the Indian market trend in October, and what do you expect in terms of volumes by year-end, or if in the next year, do you expect a flat trend or a further downside? Can you also please give us an update of the European two-wheels market by year-end and in October? Thank you very much.
Okay. Hello, Monica. The first question regarding the consensus figures and our guidance, given the first or the strong results in the first nine months, and notably the performance, outstanding performance in Asia and in Europe, we are able to offset completely the weakness that we see in India. And so I'm very glad to confirm that we can reach around 220, 221 million euros of EBITDA. So we don't change our guidance. We gave a guidance in terms of debt, around 415 to 420 million euros. I think that 415 are achievable this year. Again, thanks to the strong generation, cash generation that we reached in the first 9 months of this year. Going to India and then Europe. So in India, Q4 or even October will be a little bit negative, even if the rate of decline in October will be lower compared to prior months. There are some good news. Essentially, retail sales are going up September, October. But we can't take this as a new normal, so we want to be prudent. October maybe will be a little bit down. I will say that Q4 for light commercial vehicle can be down probably in the region of mid-single digit volume down. Conversely, for two-wheeler, after maybe a still difficult October, we should resume growth in November, December, so we should end Q4 with volumes in line or even above prior year. In both cases, like commercial vehicles and two-wheeler, given the fact we have a very positive price effect, I think that Q4 can be or can end up, can go up compared to prior year. Clearly, that was what I was referring to domestic market. Export market is going very well. We went up double digit in the first 9 months. We think that we can go up even in Q4. In this case, we can give you also, we can be more confident concerning 2020, and we expect a double-digit growth in the export market for light commercial vehicles, mainly also in 2020. So I gave you also a view on 2020.
Excuse me, do you expect a double-digit growth?
In an export market in India. Okay.
In the next 4 months.
Export market, yes. You've seen already in the first 9 months, we went up a double-digit,
okay.
And we can keep these... growth.
So, overall, do you expect a fourth quarter year-on-year improvement?
In terms of revenues. In terms of volumes, we want to be prudent, and so maybe you will have a small decline. It's not a double-digit decline as in Q3.
Yeah, it's mid-single.
Exactly. Going to Western countries, in this case, we expect, I can give you more color on that, volume rising, mid or high single digit in Q4. Speaking about two-wheeler, and your question was referring to two-wheelers, I think. And as you have probably noticed, in the first 9 months, there has been a gap between sell-in and sell-out, and that has been driven by our action to curb the dealers' network. Given the extent of the dealer stock drawdown achieved so far, we think that the delta between sell-in and sell-out could narrow significantly in Q4, and also on the back of some new product launches. So that's the reason why we're confident we can reach these very good results in Europe in Q4. Additionally, as testified in the first 9 months results, we should benefit from strong positive price mix effect that should drive revenues up double digits in Q4.
Double digits, okay.
Yes. It is, I think, I hope that I answer your questions.
Thank you very much, very clear.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Gargiulo Renato of Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is on cash generation. It seems that the main driver of the operating working capital improving is on inventories, which are down more than 300 basis points year on year. Could you give us any more indications about the main drivers there, if it's more related to European market or elsewhere? Then second question on the tax rate, could you give a guidance for the full year, including the pot and box agreement you signed and the India cut in the corporate tax rate? Thank you.
So, working capital. Again, we have been very, very strong in terms of inventories. So inventories end up just 1 million above December 2018 and 70 million lower than 2019. So we did extremely well, and this is, again, the result of a deliberate strategy. Receivable increased a little bit, but again, with a lower weight on sales. So I say we did quite well also in terms of revenues, receivables compared to revenues. And again, this is linked to the question that I answered to Monica Bosio. So we draw down a dealer network, so we don't need to push sales, giving several days of payment, and so we are able to reduce strongly receivables. So good results in terms of receivables, good results in terms of inventories. Receivables also, if you consider the factoring has been pretty much in line with last year, also went down on percentage of sales, so has been a very good result. Then, as usual, we achieve a good result in terms of payables, but again, payables are pretty much in line with last year if you compare to the total cost of purchase. The second question is, tell me.
Yeah, no, please.
Okay, and then there was your second question concerning the tax rate.
Yes.
All right. So in this case, Alessandra can give you...
About the tax rate, as you can see in the figures that you have read in our presentation, the tax rate adopted at the end of September is 43.5%. We are working for the end of the year for a tax rate between 42 and 43. Taking account of both patent box and tax rate in India, and tax rate in India that is changing in last months.
Okay, thank you. If I may, two follow-ups. On a debt, is it your guidance already including the around 8 million payment following the lawsuit with a supplier? And second question, can you give us any update about the agreement with Foton? If you have any more indications about your expected production, thank you.
Yes, yeah, so when I gave before the guidance in terms of EBITDA and in terms of net debt, we are already including the potential negative effect linked to this judgment that you are mentioning. Going to your second question, Foton, probably you've seen some picture of our product already on the news. Yes, everything is going on fully on track with our expectation. And very good news, we are able to sell the first product, at the end of next year. So I think that this is something very important because I know that a lot of analysts don't have include the potential positive impact stemming from revenues of new products at the end of next year. So everything is on track. You will see the first product coming and to be sold in Q4 next year, and probably you have to update your data.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very
much.
The next question comes from Vecchio Massimo of UbiBanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. Two questions from my side. The first one is a follow-up on the stocking in Europe. You already said that the stocking will be lower in Q4, but still there will be some destocking. I was wondering if you were in a position to give indications on 2020 or at least the first half. So put it in other words, are you happy with the stock level at dealers, or do you wish to further reduce that in 2020? The second question is on your product lineup and future launches. If you can give some more color on what you expect to launch in terms of electric and hybrid models, ideally articulating by geography and by two and three wheelers. Thanks.
Hi, Massimo. So, in terms of mismatch between sell-in and sell-out, yes, we think that this gap, as I was mentioning before, will go down going forward. So, we have done already a lot in terms of drawdowns. So, gradually, going also looking at next year, you should see a sort of reverse trend. So at one point, you will see probably sell-in going up more than sell-out, namely in the second part of the year. But again, the gap between sell-in and sell-out will narrow strongly starting from Q4. Okay? Then, as far as product launches, so you were referring to electric vehicles, I think. So first of all, I would like to say that we are very happy with our sales of Vespa Electrica. So far, it has been sold mainly, I would say, in Europe and U.S. For the next year, 2020, don't expect to have new electric two-wheeler. But clearly, we are working on these kind of vehicles, and probably you will see something new in 2021. On the other side, and it testify our attention on these new topics and new engine, probably you noticed that we already launched a new three-wheeler in India. So it's called the Ape eCity, and the product is targeting urban areas client, so it's a small body city packs vehicle with a battery range in the region of 100 kilometers, and will be equipped also with swappable batteries. The other good point is that, as you probably know, for electric vehicles, there are some discounts, or road taxes, GST are lower, so the total price or the client road price will be pretty much aligned with the price at which we are selling our normal CNG version of the parts. So again, three-wheeler, we are there. Two-wheeler, we are there. We are working on that. In 2021, probably you will see other two-wheeler coming to the market.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Clearly, the market is important. Went up in the first 9 months of this year in Europe around 70%, totaling total amount of 40,000 vehicles sold. So far in Europe, it's still mainly focused in B2B sales. Okay? So scooter renting company.
Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Storer Nicolò of Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on the price mix effect that we continue to see in Western countries. If you can elaborate a little bit on the reasons behind that and what should we expect going forward. And the second one is on the GITA launch. Are you including any potential revenues or margins for the year 2019 on your guidance? Thank you.
So in terms of price mix, you're right, and probably you have noticed also looking at the slides that we had a strong, very strong performance with motorbikes. So revenues went up strongly quarter after quarter, so there has been an acceleration in revenues. So this explains a little bit or a part of the price mix effect that we have in Europe. Namely, Aprilia grew in terms of volumes and revenues, and as Alessandra said before during the speech. And then clearly you have this outstanding performance of Moto Guzzi, so with revenues that are going up more than 70% compared to last year. So this is a part of the explanation. Then if we look at our core scooter, so for example, Vespa MP3, we had a positive price effect also for these two vehicles in Europe. So this is the reason why you see this positive price mix effect. Then there was a second question concerning GITA. So yes, so we are very glad because for GITA, the product will be sold and available starting from mid-November, and will be priced at $3,350 per unit, the very beginning just for the U.S. market. The potential and the positive results of these sales are still not including in the figures that I gave you before. So it's just upside going forward.
Thank you. Maybe a final one on the European scooter market. I noticed that at the end of June the market was up 12%. Now at the end of September we are at plus 9%. So apparently a sharp slowdown in Q3. Can you confirm these and what you see going forward at market level? Probably we are going to see more normalized growth rates going forward, or it's just a temporary slowdown? Thank you.
I don't know. Maybe I have to check my data again, but according to my data, we went up 26% in scooter in Q1, around 5% the market, in Q2, and then again, yes, it's plus 4 in Q3. Clearly, the only part that went down a little bit in terms of speed was the 50cc market that has been artificially inflated in the first part of the year by B2B sales, so sales that have been made to scooter renting companies. So that's the reason why you see we have seen the growth rate for 50cc scooter going down from plus 4 in Q1 to plus 6 in Q3. This is the only point. But again, if I look at the split in the first 9 months, over 50cc scooter went up 6.5% and 14% 50cc. So we don't see a big problem there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Gallazzi Emanuele of Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Just two quick questions. The first one is on the APAC area. The third quarter confirmed the strong trend seen in the first half, so I just would like to have a little bit more color on the trend on this market. The other one is on the Indian market. A quick one, if you can give us an update on Bharat 6 and your expectation about the impact of this new regulation for 2020.
Yes, Raffaele speaking. So, Asia, you did well. You noticed that we have a very strong performance there. So the visibility also improved strongly for this area. As you probably know, we changed a lot in the last years. We changed the head of the Asia PAC activities. We changed the way we manage the dealer network, mainly in Vietnam. And we are speeding up in the opening of new point of sales in other areas such as China and Indonesia. So the performance went very well. There are three markets that are growing or outstripping really market trends. These are China, Indonesia, and China. So in this case, volumes and revenues are surging, speaking about more than 40-50% growth. Vietnam, as Alessandra was mentioning before, has a very difficult situation. So the market, first of all, is negative, around 5%. We are outstripping market trends, so our sales are above this trend. Revenues are positive. So we are we're able to couple with this difficult situation in Vietnam. So Q4, and obviously next year will be, in our idea, a positive year for Asia again. Then the last question was Bharat 6 transition.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so first of all, we have already received and we have been the first to receive a certification from our Bharat 6 CNG engine at the end of September. Recently, also for the LPG version, speaking about light commercial vehicles, and also for some two-wheeler. So we expect that the transition across all products will be completed before the end of the year. In the meantime, we are gradually starting the production of Bharat 6 vehicles, aiming at producing 100% of the Bharat 6 vehicles by the beginning of next year. This is essentially. I don't know if you need something more.
No, it's fine. Thank you very much.
The last question comes from Lobirard Francois of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my questions. Most of my questions have been answered already, actually. Just quickly, if you could give us an update on the North American market for two-wheelers. Thank you.
So essentially, as I wrote in the slide, unfortunately, the scooter market is still negative. So our performance is improving, probably, you know, still a sort of pickup in Q3. But again, it's very weird because it's already several years that the scooter market is negative in U.S. Good point is, on the contrary, that there has been the negative trend reversed for motorbikes that end up 1% compared to last year. So this is what we can say regarding the market trend in U.S. But again, the situation is not helping us, okay, put in this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if there are no more questions, I don't know, operator, there are other questions?
No, there are no questions at the moment.
Okay. So I think that we can conclude the conference call now. And as usual, you know that starting from now on, you can call me if you need a further clarification or information. Thank you very much for attending this conference call.